This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Jux. We're going to talk some Masters coming up at 925 with Carl Paulson, former PGA Tour player. Now he's an analyst on Sirius XM, but joining us right now, as he does throughout the season, on the Rude Guest Hotline, it's Mike Rizzo, President General Manager of your Washington Nationals. He's presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Chunkies. How are you guys?
Doing well. Good. Great. And the Nationals are playing some good baseball here against the Dodgers. Some people expected a wipeout, but you guys are taking it to them.
Yeah, they're playing good baseball against, you know, two really good teams. You know, our schedule has been no joke. So, you know, coming out of the gates with, you know, the Phillies and, you know, going to Toronto, and then you get a bunch of playoff teams and the world champs, you know, the first couple of weeks of the season. But, you know, I like we've kind of kept a head above water. We've been, you know, I think we're getting a feel for each other and kind of getting our role system together in the bullpen and, you know, kind of getting some consistency offensively. And, you know, the one constant has been, you know, our starting pitching has been solid and our defense has been solid. So I think that if that continues throughout the year, I think you'll see an improvement in the pitching staff, both on the relief corps and in the rotation.
And Mike, it has to feel good too for you guys to kind of patchwork together, you know, a starting rotation for this one game with Brad Lord getting the first three innings. He goes scoreless, and basically you bullpen to win over one of the better lineups in the league. So that has to give you some confidence too.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a planned a fire drill, if you will. But you know, we had Lord planned penciled in the start as soon as Soroka went to the injured list, and you know, that'll continue in place until he gets back. And you know, Brad did a heck of a job for us. You know, he's, you know, one of our bright prospects. He was our pitcher of the year last year in the minor leagues, and you know, a Triple A starter and a starter throughout his career. He just had such a great great spring training. We just couldn't send him to the minor leagues and not make the team. He pitched so well for us, and he's such a big piece for us going forward. But you know, he's taken to the bullpen role, but we still see his future as a rotation starter. So he did a great job, and then Ribalta, Rutledge, and Poche did the rest, and our offense carried us and allowed it to be a comfortable win for us.
The Washington Post did a good write up about him. He's the guy that was working at Home Depot and dealing with Christmas trees, right?
Yeah, I guess he had an off-season job at Home Depot. And, you know, a lot of these minor league players do stuff in the off-season like that. I remember when I was in the minor leagues, we used to bartend and UPS drivers and substitute teachers. I did all those things while I was in the minor leagues. And these guys do it about the same. So
what was your best cocktail that you could pour? Could you do anything complicated?
I was in a kind of a shot and beer place, but okay. I can make a nasty screwdriver. You know what I mean?
Okay. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, pretty simple.
Yeah. Pretty simple.
It was a simple place.
Yep. He's a dive bar bartender. I like it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So James, big day yesterday. I mean, just developing nicely. I don't know why I was thinking about this. Maybe because I remember talking to you about Ohtani when he was coming up. And, you know, you got Cruz. You got all these young players. And all your years, Mike, of all the guys you scouted, who was the biggest no-brainer? One, like a thousand times out of a thousand, this guy's a lock that you scouted and drafted. Did you ever have one?
You know, I think the probably the closest to that, in my opinion, was Frank Thomas when we drafted him in 89. He was probably as no-brainer as going to be a big league hitter as there was. And, you know, Harp was pretty much a consensus, you know, a 1-1 type of guy that was going to make it. So we've had a few of those guys, but they're few and far between, and they're a lock, no doubt, 100% big leaguer, until the first time they go 0-10, and then people start questioning them. And,
right.
And so, I think that, that lock status is, is kind of overblown a little bit. And, that's the beauty of baseball too. You know, you get an 18th round kid like Brad Lord, and he's striking out Ohtani twice.
You know, Alex Call is like, he's a great role player for you guys. He's played in six games, maybe more this year. He's hitting 444. Had a couple hits, in that last game against Arizona. Had a hit, a couple runs scored last night. Plays good defense. I mean, Alex Call is a great, fill in for, if you want to throw James Wood into the DH role.
He's a great player, period. Yeah. You know, he's a solid guy. He plays the game the right way. He really knows how to play all facets of the game. He's a good base runner. He steals you a base, plays good defense in all three outfield positions. He's a good contact bat with sneaky power, and he runs well. So, this guy is a perfect complement for a roster. And he can, he's one of these bench guys that plays a lot and can contribute a lot off the bench, and even when he starts for a chunk of time in a row. So he's a valuable asset for us. He's a big time makeup guy and plays the game the right way with his hair on fire and really knows how to play the nuances of the game. So we're pleased where he's at and he's another guy that just can contribute quietly, but is a big part of what we're doing.
Did you trade for him, or did you pick him up off waivers?
Waiver claim, yeah.
Waiver, wow.
So Mike, we asked you about Cruz last week, and he was struggling a little bit. Now he's heating up a little. I think he's had 4 hits, 4 runs scored in his last 3 games. Have you noticed anything different, or is it just time, and he's just doing his thing?
You know, I think he's 5 for his last 15, and they took a hit away from him by the official score. But even when he wasn't in Toronto, I saw him getting his timing down in Toronto, where he had hit 4 or 5 balls. Exit velocity of his over 100 miles an hour, but they were caught. You know what I mean? So, I think that you see his swing flattening out a little bit. I think he's worked hard with Darnell and Chris Johnson, I just think that I always say they call them averages for a reason. You start slow, you end fast, and that's kind of what it's all about. It's a long season, ebbs and flows, especially offensively. It all comes out at the end. What kind of player you are, the credit I give to him is obviously it's so early in the season, but he's stick to it, worked hard, but it never affected the rest of his game. Played great defense for us even while he was slumping a little bit. Ran the bases well and always plays hard. He's one of the fastest guys in the league and runs down the first base on routine ground balls as good as anybody we've got. So that's all part of what he brings to the ball club. And the first Dodger game you saw him, be a selfless team player by, he moved a runner from second to third with nobody out. We've sacrificed flag. We scored a big run for us. So those are the type of things that he brings to the party. And he's a good all around player that's got a chance to be a really, really good player for us.
I'm sure it's impossible, but just for the fun of it, is there one stat that you that is will sum up everything? Like, is exit velocity, like all things, throw everything out, that's the one stat you guys look at to know how a guy's kind of going?
No, I don't look at one specific stat. I kind of just go by the eye test to see how he's swinging it. Velocities and analytics kind of verify what you kind of see with your naked eye. I think that you could say early on in the season that he was kind of hitting in bad luck. You know, I mean, hitting the ball hard but right at people. I think the odds there and the averages there, you know, had to change. He's just too good of a player with too good of a track record to continue at that pace.
Mike, CJ was doing the pregame warmups yesterday before the game. He looked okay, but he clearly wasn't 100%. The thighs still give him a problem. How was he feeling before deciding not to go yesterday? And then do you expect him to go today?
I think he's fine. Yeah, he's going to be fine. To rush him out, he's got a little quad thing going on, and what was it, 35 degrees or 40
right,
degrees
right.
Yesterday? It would have been kind of foolish. So I think that with the young playing defensively at shortstop the way he does, he gives us a good veteran presence over there. I think it gives you the luxury of making sure that you can wait and make sure that that CJ's fully healthy. We have a day off tomorrow. We play in Miami indoors and in the warm weather. So I don't know what Davey's got planned for today. I think if he's healthy, he'll be in there for sure, if he's 100%. But if he's not 100%, there's no sense of playing him on another cool, spring day and with a day off tomorrow. So I'm not sure what the lineup will be.
Okay.
You mentioned you head to Miami, so three games over the weekend in Miami. Then you're in Pittsburgh for four, then Colorado for three. Will Mike Rizzo travel to these locations?
I will be there. Yes, I will be on this road trip, and be nice to get in the warm weather again in Florida. But it's a long, arduous trip. It's a tough one to pack for. Miami, Pittsburgh, Colorado. It's one of these bring the big suitcase type of trips, because you're going to need warm weather gear and cold weather gear and everything else. So,
and then what is the
going to be fun?
What's the Rizzo protocol? Do you have to like FaceTime the wife and check in with the kid?
And Sonny,
what's the deal?
Sonny.
Like once a day? Like what happens?
Yeah, I think that yes, Sonny is. He misses his dad a lot when he's not here, so it's good. Yeah, we have to keep in touch with Sonny. We have to FaceTime and he only FaceTimes usually for a minute or two, and then he's flying around somewhere else. So he's moving on to bigger and better things.
Awesome.
Well, let's get a sweep over the Dodgers, man. That's Dodgers started off 8-0, and everyone's talking about how they were unbeatable and they're going to win 120 games. And you guys have taken the first two.
You got Irvin on the bump tonight.
Got Jake Irvin going today.
Nice.
And let's get the sweepy
shot.
Sweepy. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, well, that's, now it's time to get greedy. You win the series, now you get greedy and try and sweep it and move on and have a happy flight. So
that's right.
We're going to, we'll show up and give it our best.
And this is a game Jason can stay up for. 4:05
start. 4:05 start. I can watch all nine.
And bet on it.
All nine. Yeah. You'll be nodding out at the ninth, though. You'll be nodding.
Probably. Yeah. I'll take the melatonin, top of the eighth.
Perfect.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Safe travels.
All right, buddy.
Mike Rizzo, president and GM of the Washington Nationals. He's presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Curious, because you go to bed. Now, you watch TV from your bed.
Yes.
What time did you get to bed? Because I was thinking about this. So I finished coaching soccer 6:45. Were you in bed already?
I think I was just finishing dinner.
Unbelievable.
Then I went upstairs and, got into bed, started watching the Nats game, and probably watched about five or six innings. So probably fell asleep, call it 8:30. And then I had just the worst stomach issue in the middle of the night.
You had a little rumbly?
I'll have to tell you off air exactly what happened. But
I can imagine what happened.
I was in the shower laying down. It was so bad.
Did you have to go poopy?
Yeah.
So you just had major stomach
pain. Stomach issues. Still having rumbling the tumbling
now.
You
were in a fetal position.
But I kind of passed out in the shower.
Ooh. Oh, man.
My wife said, I'm going to call 911.
And what'd you say?
I said, no, I'm going to be fine.
I'm going to soldier through this.
The last thing I wanted was, you know, six or seven guys coming in an ambulance and me laying there in the shower.
But naked.
That wasn't happening.
And then the diagnosis is he has diarrhea.
Yeah.
Oh, but it was, you know what I'm saying? It was bad. It was real bad.
Sounds bad.
It was.
Were you sweating?
No, I just had the worst stomach pains and I couldn't get rid of them. And then I went into the shower to clean up and I passed out.
What'd you have for dinner? Food poisoning?
It was Taco Tuesday.
Probably the culprit.
Probably, but who knows?
It's spicy. Didn't agree with your system.
I got IBS. I got major IBS. Believe me, you can laugh about it now, but it was
sounds pretty serious.
Last night. I didn't know what the hell was going on. Yeah. But anyway, hopefully tonight will be a lot better.
Good.
Showers can be dicey. I passed out coming out of the shower 2 months ago.
That's where John donked off in the shower.
But believe me, I was thinking about it. Yeah, but I knew it wasn't my heart.
Yeah, right. All right, we have Carl Paulson coming up next, right?
Yeah, CP. Yeah. All right, let's talk some more Masters. It's a great week. Love it. And we had Doug Bell on a little bit earlier from CBS talking some gambling about the some of the picks and our opportunities to pick top fives and top tens. Let's talk some more with former PGA Tour player, also works for Sirius on the PGA Tour radio, also co-hosts with Dennis Paulson, Inside the Ropes, also on PGA Tour radio on Sirius. It's our good friend Carl Paulson. CP, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, boys? All I can tell you is whatever Doug told you, don't listen to him.
You know, it's funny. He was talking to him, and I want to get your take on this, too, because he was kind of dogging the LIV players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anytime the LIV players come to a major, it's a big story, especially with Brooks and Bryson and Rombo.
I thought Brooks and DeChambeau had quieted this, but I guess not.
Yeah, I thought so, too, especially since Bryson won the U.S. Open. Anyway. Yeah. I just want to get your thoughts on these guys, especially those three, and what you expect from them this week.
Well, I wouldn't sleep on them. You're just talking about a guy who's won five majors in Brooks Koepka. You know, you never know what you're going to get with Phil. John definitely has the capabilities of winning his tournament. There's no question. But I'll throw another name out there from that side to keep an eye on, and that is Cam Smith. He's got an excellent record here, and he's one of the best putters walking the face of the planet. So I definitely wouldn't sleep on those boys.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to see those guys in their pressers at all?
Yeah.
I just think I do like the fact that these guys are really honest. You know, Rom's very honest. He speaks his mind. You know, Brooks, you know how Brooks is. But especially with John Rahm, I just think that especially since last year, I think all the criticism out there with the media and the social media, I just think he's going to be extremely motivated this week.
Yeah, look, this is the first time of year that we get to have all of these guys playing together and against each other. I think it's I don't think it's a good idea to talk about the rift in professional golf. I think this is a week to celebrate the fact that they see all the best players in the world battling it out at one of the most iconic courses in the world. And I just think some of the media gets caught up a little bit in trying to, you know, to dive a little bit too deep into what is happening. These players don't have anything to do with it. I mean, other than the fact that they left and caused the rift. But, you know, I totally understand why these guys left. They left for generational money. Do I like it? No, I don't like it. But let's focus on what we got right in front of our faces here starting tomorrow, and that is the best tournament in the world with the best players in the world. And it's that's kind of how I'm looking at it.
You know, Carl, as you know, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's the best tournament in the world. I think it's my favorite week of the year by far. And the best tournament, they've come so far in tech and allowing TV coverage and everything. Their website and their app is phenomenal, to the point where we were talking about it even during the break a little bit, that, you know, they track every shot on the driving range. And you're a former tour player. Can you imagine Bryson yesterday? We know he's a notorious grinder. I would love to see VJ in his heyday. Bryson hit 393 balls yesterday. Like, can you imagine doing that in your heyday? Like, I know this is his thing, and he's built different. That's a ton of balls. Like, how do you maintain that? How do you know how to balance? You know, some guys hit 50 balls. You know, how do you hit 393?
I have no idea. yeah. I was a range rat when I was on tour, and I hit a lot of golf balls. But there is no way on a Tuesday prior to the Masters that I'm going to be hitting 300 or 400 golf balls. Not only that, he's doing full rip drivers. That takes a toll on your body.
No doubt.
Now, he's one of the guys that is in very much in control of his body, what he puts in it, how he works out, and knows what's going on, and he knows how to, to rehab the body back to where he needs it to be. But, man, that seems like an awful lot of work.
Like, think of it. Colin Morikawa hit 36 balls. On Monday, hit 69. So Colin Morikawa, you know, and Colin's a contender.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's a beast.
It's just wild.
Yeah. Yeah, Bryson doesn't have a great track record around Augusta National. It's kind of funny that we can put those two guys side by side, and one's going to look like a shrimp compared to the other one, and you think, oh, we've got this big, giant Bombers golf course. I think Colin Morikawa is going to be head and shoulders, ironically that I say that, above Bryson this week in terms of results, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, your thoughts on Rory. He's always the talk of the Masters, for a number of different reasons. And, you know, he's had a couple wins, you know, the win at Pebble Beach, even though that's, you know, it's an easier golf course for a lot of these guys, but he was awesome. But obviously his record at the Masters is not good. A lot of pressure on him. Most of it's probably from within. Your thoughts on Rory, and do you see him as a top 10, a top 5? Do you give him an outside shot to win? Because he's second on the win list right now in terms of the odds. But your thoughts on Rory this week?
His record's a little bit better than most people believe. Now, I'm doing air quotes when I say this. They're backdoor top fives, backdoor top tens, whatever.
Right.
To me, it's 72 holes. You got to play 72 holes just because he plays well at the end of the week and passes a lot of people on Sunday. It's still a fifth place finisher, a third place finisher, whatever it may be. I think this week is absolutely set up perfectly for Rory. If he can shoot 70 or better in day one, I think he has got a better chance than anyone else of winning this tournament. In the last 20 plus years, only one player has been outside the top 10 after day one and won this tournament. It was Tiger Woods. He was in 11th place. So it's very, very important that he get off to a good start. And Thursday has been his nemesis. And you're right. It's definitely between the ears. He's swinging better and playing better than he ever has coming into the tournament. It just rained on Monday, which means the golf course is going to be soft for at least two or three more days. The greens will be firm because they'll have the sub-air pumping, and it just everything fits into Rory's camp this year for him to win this tournament. He's 10th in strokes gained putting this year, which is way higher than he's ever been. It's all lined up. I feel like this is going to be his absolute best chance to win the Masters.
So that's the magic number for you for tomorrow, is Rory to be sub-71.
He needs to shoot 70 or better, in my opinion, yes.
Right. All right, what about Oberg, Ludvig? He hasn't made a cut in a couple weeks or a couple tournaments, sorry.
He was in such great form before that, though.
Yeah, but he got sick. Remember, he got sick earlier in the year, and he had to withdraw. I think he got sick maybe at Pebble. But the last couple of tournaments, he hadn't made the cut. But, I was texting you about my golf pool and using an American and an international, and you threw out his name. I like him, too. And in fact, I picked him in one of my pools. Your thoughts on Ludvig?
I'm worried about his putter. He has not been putting well for him. He normally is a very, very good putter. His putter has been down a little bit. These greens and hole locations this week are unique to these players. The PGA Tour likes to find a little flat spot for these hole locations, and pin placements. Augusta does not. So there are going to be a lot of putts out here this week inside of 4 feet where you're playing at a good ball outside the hole with a lot of break up near the hole. And if you don't have a whole lot of confidence in your putter, it could be tough for him. Now, with that being said, we're talking about a generational talent here. We're talking about a guy that, you know, if he figures this putter out, his swing and his ball striking are as good as anybody on tour. So he's got success here. It was his first major championship he ever played. He finished second. I think he can probably dive back into some of the experiences that he had when he finished second here and have a good week. Yeah, no, I would never rule him out.
Mm-hmm. Are there certain guys that you root for?
Not really. You know, if I'm just watching the tournament and not covering, I've still got some friends that are playing out there that I played with. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously some of the older guys because yeah. I'm in my 50s now, but most of my guys have moved on to the Champs Tour. But yeah, there's some guys that are still pretty close friends of mine that I'll pull for, but not this week when I'm working, obviously.
Right.
Carl, do you like any of these guys in the 30 to 35 to 1 range as kind of a dark horse? Guys like Koepka, Spieth, Fleetwood, they're all 30, 33, 35 to 1. Cantlay also in that group. Do you like any of those guys?
You can't rule Spieth out, obviously. He's not on top of his game and hasn't been for a while, but there's no telling when he's going to go off. The guy that I really like that's a little bit down the list, and he's quite a bit further down the list than where you're looking at 35 to 1, a guy that I'm going to be watching very, very closely this week is Taylor Pendris. He absolutely bombs it. He's been playing the best golf he's ever played in his life over the last 6 months. Mm. The fact that he played very well at the President's Cup, I think he's just kind of coming into his own. I think Taylor Pendris is going to have a good week this week.
He's at 150 to 1.
Taylor Pendris, yeah. Taylor Pendris to finish top 10 is plus 850.
Oh, that might be a drab t-shirt bet right there.
Do you like that?
I'm not a betting man, boys, right. But I absolutely love that.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. All right. I'm gonna do a little placing.
Make a mental note of that one.
Hey, yeah. Carl, let me ask you about a local guy that we love to root for, Denny McCarthy. I think this is only his second appearance. Last year, I finished tied for 45th. Nothing special. I think his best round was a 70. Everybody knows what a great putter he is. I mean, you got to be able to putt around there. Is it, you give him any shot to get hot? Is it just not long enough? Or what's your deal on him?
Yeah, I would worry about his length in terms of winning this tournament, getting out and getting in contention and being in contention all week. But I certainly could see Denny McCarthy having a top 10 with that putter that he has. We were messing around with a DFS team and seeing if we could get Rory and Scotty on the same team and still have enough to you know, fill out a lineup. Mm-hmm. And Denny McCarthy's going off at like 6,200 on DraftKings, and that is just a crime. I think I certainly could see him with a solid top 20, top 15 this week, no doubt.
All right. Last guy that I'm interested in is Xander. You know, he was battling the injuries earlier in the year, and, you know, he was out for about 6 weeks or so. Finished T12 at the Valspar. He's always a guy you got to look at, especially at the majors after last year. Your thoughts on Schauffele this week?
I'm just not quite sure if he's ready yet. I certainly think he's going to win multiple times this year. I think he's working his way back to getting himself into a position where he can get himself into contention in these big tournaments. I'm just not quite sure if he's absolutely ready yet. I don't know if the game is exactly where he wants it to be to contend, to be a serious contender this week. Now, with that being said, the guy hadn't missed a cut in 3-4 years, whatever it's been, 50, 60 tournaments, whatever it is.
Right.
And you put him in a major championship, like you said, and his toughness in a major championship on a very, very difficult golf course with a small field and a small cut. Again, not a guy I would overlook.
All right. And Scotty's he's the guy. He's the favorite. Your thoughts on Scotty? And let me ask you this. If Scotty and Rory were coming down the stretch 1-2 or tied for the lead on, you know, 16, 17, 18, I know you're working the tournament, but would you like to see Rory finally get through?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's been five people in the history of this game to have a career Grand Slam. We're talking, you know, you're putting yourself in the stratosphere of all golfers of all time. Yeah, of course I'd like to see that. Yeah, but man, wouldn't that be something? If Sunday afternoon we are watching Scotty and Rory go at it at Augusta National, are you kidding me?
I mean, it's never going to happen, but I would love to see it. That's why I say that, yeah.
Well, this is one of those years and one of those weeks and one of those tournaments where everything's lining up for it. So don't be surprised if we see that.
All right.
Hey, thank you, Carl. Right. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Carl, man. It's a pleasure. Of course. We'll get you on again, okay, man?
Absolutely. Y'all enjoy the Masters.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, thank you, buddy. Sir. We'll do.
Yes, you're a local guy from Quantico.
Play that music, Cakes. Every time somebody says the word Masters, it's just... can we autopilot that somehow? Just like have that... Like a cue, anytime, Master, boom.
It's played, yeah.
I played it a good amount.
I know, Cakes does a great job. I'm not saying he doesn't.
Well, you're going to be playing it a good amount for the next
few days. I'm not criticizing him.
What do you mean you're not criticizing him?
I'm not being critical. He plays it a lot. He's great.
But you're saying he's not doing it enough.
No, that's I'm a not criticism. Saying he's not doing enough for me.
You can never get enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You're insatiable when it comes to Masters music and content.
I mean, how dreamy is this? do you think you would ever get sick of this music?
Well,
oh, you do?
Me raising my hand.
Oh,
but
really?
I'm just not a big master. You're a big Master's Mark. I'm not.
But forget about the golf. It's dreamy music.
It's fine. It's relaxing.
There's a lot of dreamy music.
Will you watch more than 10 minutes of the Masters from Thursday to Sunday?
Yes.
You'll watch a final round.
Oh, you
I don't know how much more than 10 minutes, but I will
You'll watch at least an hour of the final round.
Remember when he was going through his ESPN banner?
Yeah.
Yep.
Not a lot of golf.
I don't think golf was on there. That was in other sports.
Yeah, it was definitely in other.
Way down the
along
list.
With MLB and cricket.
He'll watch more than 10 minutes of poker this weekend.
Well, I'll watch more than 10 minutes of poker tonight before I go to sleep.
All right, got to take a break. We're the Junkies. Don't go anywhere.
All right, if you want to upgrade your backyard, Offenbacher's has the perfect solution. Why spend a fortune on a high-maintenance pool when you can enjoy a versatile swim spa for less? They're amazing. Swim, exercise, relax, all in one. And when it's time to unwind, nothing beats a traditional hot tub with warm, bubbling water to melt away your stress. Visit Offenbacher's in Herndon, Annapolis, Gainesville, or Rockville. Check them out at offenbachers.com. And don't forget, mention EB for a free $500 gift card with your spa purchase. Don't wait. Secure your summer now with Offenbacher's.
By the way, if you guys want to feel really old today, it's my oldest son's 28th birthday.
Mm. Oh
my God. Happy birthday to Kurt Augel, 28 today.
It's
my godson.
28.
That might be the last time he's been in church.
I think it probably is the last time, aside from like a wedding. Last time.
Did you? Funeral. I mean, I can't even remember. So 28 years ago. I do remember I'm his godfather. Was that it? Did you do it at St. Edward's?
No. It was that.
I don't even know the church.
Trying to remember that. I think it's St. Peter's in the Old Town. I'm pretty sure. But literally the last time I've been to church outside of a wedding or a funeral was when my kids were baptized.
Yeah.
Two of my three kids are baptized.
I can't believe almost a 30-year-old.
My oldest.
I mean, he's going to be a grandpa. I mean, he's basically. You're basically a grandpa.
I mean, I
basically.
I could be at some point. I mean, all of us, that's the goal for all of us at some point.
Of course.
My oldest
is
24, and Kelsey was baptized at the Italian church. It's really close to Capital One. It's on 3rd Street, and my dad had a relationship there, and we would have a lot of big events there, and family, different weddings, whatever. I almost missed her baptism. Because as I was driving through D.C., I got stopped. There was a gay pride parade, and I was stuck for like 20 minutes, and the mass is going on. Now, the baptism was after the mass. I had to get out of my car, pick her up, and run across the gay pride parade to then get all the way over to the church.
Yeah. Got to do what you got to do, right?
For baptism. Cakes, I think you'd be jealous of Arch Manning, probably for a couple of reasons.
Arch Manning?
Arch Manning.
Okay.
Do you know why you'd be jealous of him now?
I mean, I mean, he's got a rocket arm attached to his NIL. Body.
So he's got a great NIL deal.
I mean, he's just got a new NIL deal.
Well, he's also part of American royalty. He's in the Manning family.
Yeah. But his NIL deal,
yeah.
He's had Uber.
Yes, that's good.
He's had Red Bull.
I mean, those are great corporate
but
titans.
He just signed a new deal with Vuori Clothing.
Oh, he's a Vuori guy.
See, look at his eyebrows. You get so psyched.
I love
for
the Vuori.
Vuori.
Him and Livy Dunn, both Vuori brand endorsers.
He's got to be making. He's got to be making close to $10 million.
I would assume
he's never going to go to a restaurant and look at the price of the food.
He won't care.
Like he'll in his whole.
He might
life,
for his. What about for like when he gets the bill for his rookie dinner? And he gets bitter that they rack up like $100,000.
He's going to take his wife or girlfriend out, his parents out. He's never going to look at the price of the entrees.
You don't think he's going to take a first
date? He will never look at the right side.
You don't think
of
he'll take a first date and take her to Sizzler college?
He'll never be like, should we get the appetizer? He'll always be like, we're getting the appetizer.
No, we're not really getting the appetizer. We're going to get two of each. Let's get two of each.
Like, just order the whole menu.
Yeah. Different life.
Just a baller move.
Speaking of sponsorships, you guys who are golf nerds, especially UB, spent a lot of time talking about Jason Day's deal.
Yeah, with Malbon.
And he had very loud outfits. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the Masters told him to tone it down this year.
Well, it's Calvin Ridley checking in.
Really? Why?
Jason Day, those baggy trousers and
He's got to have tighter pants.
That loud Malbon vest sweater. That is not going to play.
Keep calling him Calvin Ridley.
Oh, Fred Ridley. Calvin Ridley is my son. And that Malbon gear is frowned upon here
so
on the
apparently
premises.
He was putting together his fits, his wardrobe selections for the Masters. But Day said, we kind of did, but we kind of cut everything in half with what we're supposed to wear. They said that's a little bit much.
What do you think?
That doesn't fit into our Southern sensibilities.
I haven't seen his Masters outfits, but you know, a few weeks ago he went out there and basically it's become very popular in the golf influencer world. He went out there basically in gray sweats. So Malbon made him gray sweat, mm-hmm. like literally gray sweatpants with a drawstring.
Yeah, he had a grout fit on.
And you know, traditionalists hate it.
Sure.
But others think, I mean, it's so comfortable. Why wouldn't you have it, you know, like a hoodie and then gray sweatpants, a grout fit.
Yeah.
Now, I would love to see. I haven't seen. Is it out there, what he's wearing this week? I'm sure it is. I'm sure Malbon put it all out there.
All right, so I'm looking at his, what you're calling sweatpants. I mean, they kind of look like golf pants to me, I guess.
Well, maybe it's a different outfit.
Are you talking about these?
No.
No, Pebble Beach, he wore legit sweatpants.
Okay. Yeah, legit. I mean, they look just like gray sweats that you wear with a drawstring. They had a drawstring. I'm not sure if the
these were described as parachute pants.
Yeah, he's bringing like the MC Hammer pants back.
Parachute pants were the thing back in like 8th or 9th grade. Yeah, that parachute pants.
I
with
never
100
did.
Zippers on them.
Thank God I never did.
I got to tell you, I was just looking for stories yesterday for the show. I can't believe the Hawk Tour girl is still in the news.
That's shocking news to
me. She's kind of like revving up again now.
She is.
She got the all clear from the lawyers.
She has her podcasting career. You know the name of her podcast, right?
Talk to her.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, you'd love that.
But she's going to be like in a cameo acting gig with Glenn Powell.
Wow. How?
Glenn Powell has a new series, which is based on, do you remember when Eli Manning did that bit? He dressed up as Chad Powers.
Yes.
And he showed up to like college football practice.
Like a tryout. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he has,
you know, darts all over the place.
Yeah. So Glenn Powell is going to play the fictional quarterback, Eli Manning, as Chad Powers. And she got some sort of cameo role in it.
Yeah.
She doesn't go away.
She's got a great PR machine behind her. Good for her. I still
is EB's girl Bobby Altoff. Did she have a cameo in it too?
Oh, she doesn't need it. She's made so much money. But I think Bobby Altoff has kind of ditched the whole like deadpan persona.
Okay,
she's kind of morphed into trying to be more normal.
Oh, okay. If you say so, I don't know.
I don't know her persona at all.
I don't know her affect. I don't know anything about her.
I'm with you.
And it's better that way. My life is better with not knowing about her.
I'm not saying it's not.
But you know Hawk, too.
I definitely know who she is, yes. Haley Welch.
She hasn't gone away.
Just waiting for her to rug pull people for another $10 million somewhere.
All right, tomorrow we'll make our Masters picks. For Bish, Cake, CB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Coming up next, it's B. Mitch and Finley right here on The Fan.